The Legend of Kage. Be a legend in your own time. Welcome to Nostalgia, a chronological exploration of every NES game released in North America. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Joe.
Joe, you had an observation.
All right, I'll repeat it. The box sounds like it's telling you to be a legend on your own time, like as if you have other things to do, and like there's no time right now to be a legend.
There's definitely a distinction between in and on there, you know?
Right, like,
they really did come close, right. Though, because I wasn't sure even, what does that mean? Like, are they referencing that this game takes place in, like, feudal Japan, and they're like, now you can be the legend in modern times. Like, yeah. Like, okay, great, but I think I'd still be the legend in feudal Japan, because I haven't necessarily done anything in real life
right.
to justify me being a legend. Anyway, The game is Legend of Kage.
Cage, to some.
Yep, The Legend of Luke Cage.
Yeah.
And Taito, again, boys, they produced, and this time, ain't no Micronics coming to this party, okay? Taito decides that they're going to develop this one themselves, all right? This time, we do it live, okay? They live-coded the game single time somebody played it.
They all get down.
Even today, it's, like, annoying. It's like, oh, somebody booted it up again. Like, get back to the boards. But, of course, if it's Taito, that means that it also was in the arcade. So this is an arcade game first. And, might I add, quite cinematic.
It is.
Yeah.
It's got lightning.
A beautiful start to that game. You are Kage, which is Shadow, and you're on the mission to rescue Princess Kiri.
Who was snatched right out of your hands.
From the villains Yoshi and Yuki. So this was before Yoshi became a green dinosaur and
Super Mario Brothers. Super Mario World.
And that's, of course, because Super Mario Brothers takes place in, like, you know, 80s, and this was in feudal Japan.
Right.
So there was a long evolution for the Yoshi species. So Yoshi and Yuki have kidnapped Princess Kiri, and now Kage has to fight his way through the forest, some secret passageways, the fortress wall, the castle, and you're going to have to rescue her 2 times. In order to win the game, 3 in the Famicom and NES version. Okay. So yes, Joe, I know you were getting concerned there for a minute.
Ready to jump on that.
Yep, but that was the arcade version with 2, 3 for the NES version. And each time the princess is rescued, the seasons change.
Yeah, so this is just a weird thing that I was picking up on. It seems like this is some like Sisyphean like torture device. Like he's got to be dead. For one.
Okay.
And
can you start there? Do we have to jump to the next point? Can you explain the he has to be dead part?
I'm getting to that. Okay. He has to be dead because it seems like he is just reliving one of the worst moments of his life where his girlfriend or the princess or whatever the fuck gets captured and then he rescues her and then she immediately gets snatched out of his hands again. Like, I really don't know like how weak of a grip he's got, but it's right. It's seamless. Like before, well, like in Gumshoe, it was like the very next day.
Yeah.
Like, so there was some time where they got to spend.
What about Kung Fu?
Kung Fu?
That at the end, Sylvia is just back to being kidnapped.
Yeah, exactly. But like, there's a moment where she's free.
Yes.
Right. In this game, like it's a seamless transition. They just like go right into it again.
And when she snatched at the beginning, something I found kind of weird, speaking of that.
Yeah, you jump from the sky.
Well, there's that. But also in the manual, it says the princess has been kidnapped, something along the lines. Princess has been kidnapped and many have tried to rescue her and none have succeeded. Like, no, I just saw her get kidnapped. Yeah. Who's tried since I just saw her get kidnapped? I'm the first one.
You know, it seems lazy every time Sean's like, yeah, this is a dream. Yeah, this is a nightmare. But he does it so convincingly. He goes beyond the whole, like, it was all a dream. Like, he actually breaks it down as to why it is that way. In different ways, too. This is not how you reasoned with Burger Time being a nightmare.
No.
Burger Time was a nightmare because that chef was overworked in the kitchen for ungrateful customers and then goes home and dreams about the burgers attacking him.
That's the only way that it can work. It's the only way that can work
yeah.
in these games.
So I actually now think that, you know, this game is even more beautiful than it already was. I say beautiful because I really like the graphic style in this game, and the NES version kind of gets close to the...
I would say in the first step, the first level. The first, yes. When it's a tree, and then there's like a storm, and there's lightning and stuff, it's some of the best graphics we've seen so far.
These are the best trees I've seen yet. Yeah.
But like the everything after that level is just pretty basic.
I was honestly confused if I was playing Legend of Kage or The Witcher 3 at certain points. So I was like, wow, look at those trees.
They have great tree cinematics.
So yeah, the player is armed with a short sword and an unlimited amount of shurikens. Yeah. And the main gameplay kind of revolves around killing all different types of ninjas. I get really just blue or red. And blue or red ninjas,
fire breathing.
And the fire breathing monks. Yes. Over the five different stages, and then you have to essentially like, there's like a not what would you call it, Joe? It's not really like a boss person. It's just like a person you have to kind of take down
at the end of the. That's really just the first level. You have to kill this fire breathing guy. And I honestly, the first time I did it, I killed him, and then another one came. So I'm not really sure what...
I think they're the twins. Aren't they twins?
So you had two as well.
I mean, I don't remember.
Here's the weird thing, okay? The plot is well set up of the idea of the princess is kidnapped. Yeah, the manual explains some things. But if you just boot up this game and you just, like, you know, watch that little cutscene of the princess being kidnapped, and then they just drop you into the woods, and you just, like, are like, oh, what do I do? All this stuff's going on. There's, like, crazy music playing. Everybody's jumping around. And then you finally take, like, you're like, you know what? I'm going to jump. And you just soar.
Yeah. Skyrocket into the air.
Several screens. It's, like, it's more than a full screen. You're going, like, 2.5 screens up over a tree. Then you have the option to, like, stop right there and hold on to the tree. Yeah. Scale it.
The other theory is that it's also taking place on the moon, because that's how the only they're in slow motion too, because like you don't fall at the right rate, like you just sort of like soar.
Yeah, I think maybe that helps with the dreamlike aspects of it, but I will say that like for me, as confusing as that was, I really wasn't sure what I was supposed to be doing. Is this a game with, like, levels where you walk to the left or to the right? Is this a game like Ninja Kids Guerrilla Warfare where you just have to kill, like, a certain amount of enemies?
That's the kind of vibe I was getting.
You know, and I just wasn't sure, like, what I was supposed to be doing. So I was just more like, wow, this is really cool. Like, just running around, jumping, throwing shurikens, and he has, like, a weird way of using his sword.
Sort of does a loop-de-loop.
It's like a backhanded loop-de-loop. Yeah. I think overall, like, crazy jumping aside, the movement is pretty good in this game. You run pretty smoothly.
I just want to get it on the record. I don't think that the jumping is bad. I think it's really fun.
Yeah,
I think
the only thing that bothered me with jumping is
You can't adjust yourself in the air,
which obviously is realistic, but just doesn't make for good gameplay.
Yeah. But I think, like, I don't feel like a ninja that much in this game other than throwing the shurikens, but I will say that, like, just the fast-paced nature of it did really amp me up.
Yeah.
Okay, so that the first stage, as we mentioned, is the forest level, and that's when you gotta do all that stuff, and then you gotta, It says that there's a book in this level. Did anybody get the book?
No. You mean the scroll?
Yeah, the scroll, I guess. It causes Kage to stand still and meditate for several seconds while approaching enemies dropped to the ground dead during a lightning storm.
I got it, but not
storm.
In this level. I mean, I didn't know what I got. It just people just started dying.
Yeah, they just all show up and they just die.
There's a really weird, like, ominous sound in the background. And yeah, it's actually really disturbing how it happens, but I don't know how well that helps you to move forward in a game, because I think they just will endlessly respawn, don't they?
Yeah, but I think it's like, again, this is a Taito game, so it's all about the points, you know, and so you definitely want to get that bad boy if you're looking forward to points.
There were a couple other interesting power-ups you can get throughout.
But take me.
Drawing a blank on what the visible icon was that you pick up. But there's the one that turns you green.
Crystal ball.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a little ball. Right? Yeah.
You could turn a couple different colors in the game.
Really? I think I only got green. But green basically acts like a mushroom. I mean, you don't get any bigger, but you get another hit.
And then you go a little faster.
Right. If you get a second orb while you're green, you go back to whatever your original clothing color was.
No, you. I think you might. This is where you might be confused. Buddy. You go to orange.
Oh, orange.
Not to red. Yeah, you go to orange, and then you get a bigger shuriken.
So I've gotten that too. But when I got one orb and it turned me green. I got the next orb and it brought me back and gave me an extra life.
Oh.
So it didn't give me an extra hit anymore. Now I could die and come back with an extra life with two hits.
Hmm. Okay.
I think this just, again, is proving my point, though, just about, like, a little bit about how confusing this game can be if you're just, like, jumping into it. Because it's like, we all kind of, like, we played the game and we all, like, saw things happen. But we have, like, now we have, like, a different way of explaining what happens.
And I also definitely got those, the bigger,
shurikens. Yeah.
But I had no idea how I got those. I got them a couple times and I was like, what is happening?
That's good. Yeah, it's all about those crystal balls because that's what changes the player's clothes. And also, more importantly, makes it so this way, if you take a damage, you don't die immediately because this is a one-hit kill game. Mm-hmm. But instead, you'll just go back to your normal red clothes.
Gotcha.
So, you know, we were just talking about the first stage, but there are some variety in the stages here, just besides, like, you know, the way that the settings are. Yeah. There's also, like, some different things to do. Anybody want to talk about that?
Yeah, I kind of enjoyed that a little bit. I have good things and bad things to say about this, but each level kind of had a different objective, a lot like Ninja Kid. So, like, you know, the first level, apparently, the first level is the only one I'm a little confused on. Apparently, you had to kill the guy at the end, even though it didn't really work for me. Second level, you have to beat a specific amount of enemies. You have a counter at the bottom and it counts down to the amount of enemies.
Very much like Ninja Kid's Guerrilla Warfare.
Right. Third level, you just have to get to the top of the level. So it's like, and the problem I have with some of these is that there are, in some of the levels, there aren't really many clues as to what you have to do.
Eventually, at least in the third level, there's a big blinking up arrow.
That's the one that I think has like the most blatant clue.
Yeah.
There's a level later on after you do the first four levels, you go back to the beginning. There's a level at one point where you have to kill a butterfly before you can kill any enemies. Did you guys get to this level?
No, I did not get to this level.
I watched a video of this, and it's very strange. Because even in the manual, it's just like, I wonder why a butterfly is around here.
Right. I was playing with my friend Mark, who you may remember from the Duck Hunt episode.
Yes.
And we
had a couple... deep cut.
Yeah, but that's, you know, still one of my favorite games of the...
There you go. I can't wait to see on the best podcast of 87 where it winds up.
We had a couple of, like, experiences that were just really inconsistent. There was one point when he was playing, and on the fourth level, when you actually find the princess, you can free her by slashing her chains, I guess. And then what I imagine is supposed to happen, which is what happened every time after, is you walk forward and you both automatically, you're not controlling this, you both jump up to the top and progress on to the next level where she gets kidnapped immediately again. But the first two times that I think Mark was playing and he did this, he freed her, he did everything right, they walked forward to where they'd start to jump up, and they both died and fell off the screen. This happened twice. We can never get it to happen again. But they just died, and then nothing hit them,
sounds
nothing
like
happened.
A bug,
yeah,
but
it must have been.
Yeah, I can't imagine that being intended, but it definitely helped Sean's nightmare theory. Guys, you know, I'm going to ask right now, what's the deal with Taito?
I don't really like what they're doing.
I'm not a big fan either, but I just want to, and this is a hard question to, like, we actually can't answer it, but do we have, like, a level of future vision here where, like, because we're talking about these games in 2018, we just can't see the appeal because these games are just kind of, like, lost to their time of, like, being like, arcade-like machines? I'm inclined to say no to that, too, because I enjoy other arcade games still today.
Yeah.
But I don't think if you showed me a Legend of Kage arcade cabinet, I'd be like, oh, gotta play that one instead of, like, say, Galaga.
I mean, so a part of it is I actually don't know how far back we have to go to get to a designed for home console game? Like, what was the last one we reviewed that was designed for home console?
The last one that we did, yeah, because even Solomon's Key was arcade, which is weird, but you're testing my limits there. It might be Kid Icarus.
Yeah, I was just gonna say Kid Icarus.
So,
or,
Rygar was arcade.
Yeah, so
Different game, though.
Okay.
In the doldrums, I don't know how long this is going to go. Actually, I do, but we seem to be in the doldrums of it's just ports of games that were already made for the arcade, and so we're just getting an arcade experience. And I think it's not that these games are particularly bad, which some of them are. It's that it's kind of getting old.
Well, I don't even know if it's the arcade port part of it that bothers me. I think what bothers me about all this is, with Taito specifically, is that I'm just not really digging any of their games.
Yeah.
Like, look, Legend of Kage is visually interesting and like
for the first
has
level.
Like, yeah, it has like a fun thing about it, you know, here and there. But for the most part, it kind of falls flat for me. Elevator Action definitely wasn't a big one for me. Burger Time, which is kind of like a fan favorite, didn't really do anything special for me. And so it's like, what are they consistently doing wrong that like other arcade developers that bring, like, because, you know, think about it, Capcom and Konami, both of those are bringing their arcade games to the NES and we're liking those. What's Taito doing wrong?
I think they're, now that you say that, I think they're too faithful of a port. Because Capcom, like, they change their games up a little bit when they come to the home console, right? Like, or was
well,
that...
Well, yeah, no, I'm not going to... I think, like, you know, Konami did probably more when it came to changing them up.
Yeah.
But I think, like, what I'm kind of going to say here, and this might be out of line, but I think that what it comes down to is that Taito is making the more traditional arcade-style game, whereas, like, you know, Capcom and Konami are definitely thinking about the arcade first and then porting these games, but they're like that next generation of arcade games.
Yeah.
I feel like the Taito games are very similar to like that Pac-Man era of like arcade games,
yeah,
you know, the early 80s, whereas like a game like Ghosts and Goblins is like, yeah, that could very well be a console experience because it's a long game that goes on for a while. You know, Gradius is a game that like offers a lot of player choice and, you know, like a lot of different options that we haven't seen before. I think like it's the repetitiveness of the gameplay and the actions, and then also like the super simple nature of the loop.
Exactly.
You know, I think that's what's killing me about this, because it's like, I don't know, would I really be that excited if Pac-Man, which by the way does not come to the NES, but would I really be that excited if it did get an NES port? Would I be like, finally, Pac-Man?
No.
And I think the kind of, to springboard off of that, I think that the biggest thing that maybe upsets me about this being about this port is that it doesn't feel like a long enough experience. It doesn't feel, you know, it feels like either you get hit and you die and it's one hit KO for the most part, or you kind of like learn the levels and like by the time you understand the levels, it's like, you know how to, you know, the objective. But that being said, I did have a good time with this game. I mean, I did enjoy it. It was fun. It wasn't anything, you know, it didn't amaze me, but I was enjoying it. Like, I think this did better than some of the other arcade ports. But also, as I've mentioned on the show before, I'm not a big fan of, like, traditional arcade-style games.
Right. I will say that a lot of the artwork that was done for the game, even outside of the actual game, was really cool. There was a lot of, like, cinematic approach, especially in the Japanese artwork that was done for it. I think earlier this week on our Twitter page, we've been posting some of that art, and I definitely recommend going back and checking that out, because they kind of do even, like, you know, like, they make them look like movies, almost, and then it turns out, it's like, no, it's just this arcade experience you can go get. And it's like, I like it as an arcade game. It's a very simple loop, kind of reminds me of Donkey Kong in some ways, where it's like, you know, it's just four levels in Kage's case, five. Just five levels that, like, to Joe's point, if you're good at this game, you can get in a loop and really be addicted to the, you know, to that feedback. But I think if you're someone like me who's kind of like, well, there's just a lot going on here and I'm like really just fascinated by the jump, I think like it only held my attention for so long.
Yeah. Oh. Well, I'm sorry, Taito.
Any stray thoughts?
We've been giving them a lot of hoops to jump through, but we've also been giving them a lot of chances.
Yes. I don't think I'm being tough on Taito. I just feel like, you know, Taito is respected.
Yeah.
They are a respected company and you know, definitely in the 80s were a big, you know, company making games.
Yeah.
I just think that, like, you know, the future hasn't been kind to them.
No.
These games have not aged particularly well.
No.
So if we're going to go into the sequels and spinoffs section.
The squeakles.
Yeah, the squeakles. I wish you would stop doing that.
I do have a quick, it's not even really a straight thought.
I'd love to hear it.
I don't have an answer to this, but I think it was in level 6. We found this, you know, a little floating icon floating around, and we were like, oh, let's catch that. We catch it, and we became almost translucent and double.
Oh, but wow, both, you got that.
Both sprites of us were locked in to each other, did exactly the same thing, and it seemed like only the front sprite, or the sprite on the right side was interacting with anything. But they both had a sword, they were both doing exactly whatever we did.
So you're saying that if you did the attack...
I did the attack,
both of them would do the attack,
but it seems like only the one sword
does damage.
I could be wrong about that part, but
wow, so
they were so close together that I don't even know, even if they both did damage, I don't know how much help it would be.
Yeah, you took the LSD.
yes, that's what it was.
Because you weren't actually doing anything, but it sure looked like it.
Yeah, then we shut the game off and everything was still double.
Okay, so here we go with the squeakles. We got the revised Legend of Kage in 2006, which features two new playable characters, Ayami and Ganon. that's weird, but it was like G-A-N-I-N.
Oh, okay.
Ayami is a ninja who can throw bombs, similar to the red ninjas.
Most ninjas can't do that.
And has an unlimited supply of throwing knives instead of shurikens. And Ganon is a dog who can breathe fire, similar to the monks in the game, and can perform a spin attack that doesn't have much range, but leaves him invulnerable for an instant and kills any enemies that touch him. There's also a new final boss that all the characters face, which is a giant green cobra that slithers on the ground back and forth the screen. That's very weird language, but I directly took this from Wikipedia, so leave it to Wikipedia to have something like slithers on the ground back and forth on the screen. Like, who can forget that chubby cherub moment where we read the Wikipedia page, which was a translation? From Kage, because other than the revised Legend of Kage, which was 2006, we got Taito Legends Power Up Remake, which was a 3D graphics remake of the arcade game, along with the original arcade version, which was included in the Taito Legends Power Up. So it is exactly the same game, right? Just imagine like an HD version of it.
When was this out?
This was 2006.
Okay.
So it's like now it's like Mortal Kombat looking graphics.
Wow.
You know, like an old Mortal Kombat looking graphics. I'm talking about like that, you know, the way they looked in the old days where they looked almost
94?
Like... Yeah. Like that. And then, of course, the sequels and spinoffs have all been strange for the last couple games. Athena had like a ton. Elevator Action had more than three, which is just surprising.
And also, I was just thinking, I think all three of them had one in 2006.
Yes.
It's like Taito's year to bring 3D versions
I remember that Athena was SNK.
That's true.
But
we're going to do that in every episode from now on. We're going to confuse.
Please remember Athena was SNK. SNK also just makes games all the time, so it's no surprise that in 2006 they released something. Legend of Kage 2 finally comes out in 2008 for the Nintendo DS.
To acclaim.
Taito's parent company, Square Enix, published a North American localization of the game later that year.
Square Enix owns Taito now?
Square Enix owns Taito now. That would explain, of course, the elevator action stuff that's going on with Square Enix making their own elevator action.
Right.
You know, guys, I'm just kind of blown away by all these sequels and spinoffs. Who knows if I'll ever get around to them,
but I'm not necessarily dying
for any of them.
It's always amazing when I see, like, on the Wikipedia page for these games, a legacy section.
Yeah.
Or, like, I don't...
Almost every NES game gets it.
I know. At least to the point that we are at now.
We should have Nostalgia 2, where we only play sequels of games we played on Nostalgia.
It's bound to happen sooner or later, right? We're running out of episodes. We only have like 700 more, 650 more, or something like that. All right, let's do the Essential Games List. Okay, we're here. The Essential Games List. Not that much enthusiasm this time. because it's Legend of Kaguya. I'm going to go first. I'm going to say no. So, okay. Sean?
Yeah, it's a no for me.
Joe?
I mean, spoiler alert, it's a no.
Okay.
But I do think that, I think that I enjoyed it more than you guys. I'm getting the vibe.
Yeah, I'm not even going to say play it.
I don't know.
Are you going to tell the average citizen?
I would be on the verge
don't
of,
play
like,
this game.
I would be on the verge of, like, a play it and a skip it. Like, I think you'd be okay either way. But I
so don't no, play it.
But I had fun, you know? That's all that matters. I had fun, and I thought it was kind of fun trying to figure out how to beat the level. Even though it doesn't really lead you into it, it kind of gave me a little bit of a Ninja Kid vibe, which, looking back, I wasn't incredible either. But I can't put it in, like, in the jank folder. I thought it was okay.
I'm not,
like,
putting it in the jank folder either. I'm putting it in the forget folder.
Right.
Yeah. That's a good question, though, Joe. Let's do that instead of this essential games list thing. Would you rather play this or Ninja Kid?
That's tough.
I need an answer.
I'd have to revisit Ninja Kid before. It's been a long time.
I thought you were going to say, would you rather play this or nothing?
Nothing. Wow. This is not elevator action level, okay? No.
I'd have to revisit Ninja Kid, but right now it is a toss-up, but it could very easily be this.
Sean?
I'd rather play Ninja Kid, I think.
I'm all in on the Ninja Kid. I still go back to Ninja Kid every now and again. I don't think it's great by any means. It's just like every now and again when I'm like, what NES games can I think of off the top of my head? Somehow
golf.
Ninja Kid still makes it in there. Yeah, golf is up there, trust me. Golf has a shortcut on my on my desktop just in
case. It's a mouse button.
It's a mouse button. Yeah. You right click on the mouse.
I quick mapped my side mouse click to that.
Your Nintendo mouse, right?
Yeah, no, it's okay. Emulation, NES hardware, NES Classic, NES on Switch, we're playing these things every single way, especially me, because I'm playing them on so many different consoles, too. I think fans of the show by now know that we're really committed to the cause.
You're on to us.
I think it's okay if I play golf on my computer every time instead of, you know, going back to my cartridge.
I guess so.
Especially because my cartridge is out in Long Island, so I don't really want to, like, take the train out there just to play some
golf.
They can
dox you if you tell them where you are, man.
Oh.
No, you just said where the cartridge is.
Yeah,
they don't know
weird.
That we're in L.A.
Or Norwegian.
Norwegian.
I tried to, like, make up a location on the spot. All right, that is nostalgia. You guys are one step closer to doxing me, I guess. I'm Michael Esposito. Dun, dun, dun. You should check out all of our content on nostalgiacast.com. We have the entire essential games list up there in case you're wondering of which games you should be playing right now. Right now. And if you're wondering for which games you should play temporarily, well, we have a whole backlog of episodes that you should listen to first before you play any game.
Ever.
It is not safe to play a game before you've heard our opinions on it. That is certain.
Consumer Reports. You know, like, don't buy anything unless you read the reviews.
Yeah, I don't think we're being disingenuous with anything that we've told you not to play.
We're looking out for you.
Yeah.
Sometimes
trust
if the game's really bad, we issue a recall on the game.
I'll say this much, okay? I haven't been wrong about anything.
Same.
So
ever
far.
In your life.
Ever, yeah. So when I mean, if you haven't played Legend of Kaguya at this point in your life, you probably don't need to play it. Like, you know, that's where I'm at. I'm not saying if you were a fan of this game, your opinion is bad and you should feel bad. No, I'm saying great. Okay, good. I'm glad you enjoyed this game. I couldn't get into it. But if you've never played this game, chances are this isn't going to be the moment where you're like, oh, wow. my new favorite game.
That was a good wow.
Oh, wow. My new favorite game. Like, probably not going to happen. Especially when you have, like, Breath of the Wild as your favorite game. It's like Legend of Kaguya is not about to just come in and blow your mind. Okay. I'm Michael Esposito.
You can catch him at Esposito Film
on Twitter. Good night.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Or good morning, depending on what you listen to. Have a good day at work. Also, welcome back. Depending on
welcome back to nostalgia. This week we're going to talk about
oh, Oh, it's the post show.
Wow. Yeah, this is the post show.
Hey, guys, welcome to the post show.
We're going to talk about ladders ninjas. Now.
Oh. Ninja movies. Have you seen any ninja movies?
I saw The Karate Kid.
Get out. Karate Kid's coming up.
Is it?
Yeah. Oof. One of our first movie games. Maybe
I'm
the
sure
first.
They're all going to be incredible.
I don't remember anything about that movie I saw.
You don't remember Karate Kid?
I remember, you know, like parts of it.
I'm just going to tell you right now, for all of the NES games that are based on movies, watching the movie is going to be mandatory for the podcast. You'll have to watch the movie and play the game, because otherwise, think about like how weird that is that we'll be talking about a game we don't even understand the references to.
I mean, we could read the like,
all right, just don't watch CinemaSins.
Why would I watch any CinemaSins anything?
I'm just making sure, because some people are really hyped about that guy, and it's like,
why are we? Wait, did he do something recently?
No. I'm saying like some people just really like CinemaSins, and it's like that's really not clever. What's going on there? It's like, plot hole for this thing that like doesn't affect anybody's enjoyment of the movie whatsoever.
Yeah. No, I do not watch or listen to that, to those people.
Yeah.
All right. I'm looking at the mic. I'm making eye contact with the mic.
Joe, any ninja movies?
Ninja movies. I mean, if you're not counting Karate Kid, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
What about the Ninjago
movie? A couple of iterations of those.
Yeah. Secret of the Ooze with Vanilla Ice.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was in that movie.
That's very
he did
nice.
The Go Ninja Go rap too.
Yeah, that was
a revelation to me when you told me that.
Yep. Okay, that's all.
No, it's not. I have more things to say.
Okay. All right. Continue.
If you enjoy being on the internet, but you also like to make your own websites, you need to go to Squarespace.
I was wondering. I feel like I've got an ad about this.
I thought I had ad vibes for sure. No, we don't do ads on this podcast, baby.
Can you bleep out Square?
Yeah. Twice now.
Yeah. So we don't, yeah, just don't actually make your website on Square.
Square Enix.
Square is also a different company.
Square Enix. But that was just a marker.
Square is the the card people. Yeah, they take your credit card info and they report it to the lizard people.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, good night.
Good night.
Good night, kids.